Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the second Sunday after Epiphany comes from our gospel reading of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. That's far the text. John is almost there. He's almost finished. His entire purpose in life is just about used up at the ripe old age of 30. From here on out, all that we're going to see of John is a proclamation to a king to flee from sin, an incarcerated moment of doubt, and a head served on a platter. But now, right now, we have John fulfilling his final and most important act as the forerunner. He's pointing out the guy who's come to take his job, his followers, his disciples, his glory. John doesn't hesitate. He doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't try and hold on to the limelight, for he knows that his time has come. In order to fulfill all righteousness, John had already baptized this Jesus fellow, this cousin of his, this man whom he had met while they were both still in utero, and he had leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb as Jesus lay peacefully in Mary's. And they say a clump of cells isn't alive, isn't a person, can't have faith. And it was in this Jordan River where he baptized Jesus that John saw the Spirit descend on him, remain on this one man who was, he was not unworthy to untie his sandals. And that was it. Right there, that was the sign that brought finality to all of the doubts and all of the wondering and all of the waiting. That was the sign that made it all so incredibly clear. There was no mistaking it. This man who was called forth from the womb, as our Old Testament reading of Isaiah prophesies, is Jesus. He's the Messiah. He is the Christ. Look. Look at him. John says, it's not about me anymore. In fact, it never was. There he is, the one that you've been waiting for. John makes sure to point this out. And just in case we're too deaf to hear it the first time, he says it again. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Don't wait for one measly second. Don't stop to ponder whether or not I'm mistaken. I'm not. Go. There's your Lamb. John makes sure to tell you who Jesus is. And there's no other way about it. It's black and white. And he says it twice. He quotes the prophets of old. He hearkens all the way back to the very first proclamation, promise given in Genesis chapter 3. Then he goes to the story of Abraham and Isaac, then to the Passover feast and the Paschal Lamb, the first prophecy, and all the others combined right now in this person of Jesus. John doesn't say, "Behold the example of God who comes to show you how to live." This we all might like a little bit more. This sort of example we all might welcome with open arms. This type of coming our sinful flesh might be able to get on board with, because we all like examples and we all like something and someone to emulate. We all want that mentor to help direct our ways and to give us the 10 perfect steps for a good and Christian life. But that's not Jesus. That isn't why the Spirit descended on him. And John doesn't say, "Behold the lawgiver of God who comes to show you what you must do to be perfect." But we too might like that a little bit more than the real Jesus. In fact, we've all tried to turn Jesus into the new lawgiver, but we don't need Jesus to be this. We already have Moses. And no matter what we think, we've not lived up to the standard that Moses has put in front of us. And if Jesus is supposed to be the new Moses, then we're in a whole heap of trouble. Because if we can't follow the old Moses' law, how can we expect to be able to follow the new? And John knows this. He knows that Moses has done us in. He knows that we've been cut down to the root, run through to the very core with the law of God. We don't need another example. The law is example enough. In fact, it's the perfect example. And John, he's done a pretty good job too, what with all of that "you brood of vipers" stuff. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John, he came baptizing unto repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He came pointing out our weaknesses, our immense shortcomings, our perfect sinfulness, our perfect unbelief. He came preaching about how the law of God is good and righteous and complete, how it must be followed, it must be kept, every single last dot and iota. He came proclaiming that we're nothing but poor, miserable sinners. He came to put up that perfect mirror in front of our anything but perfect face, saying, "Look, look at that person right there staring back at you. You see that reflection? It's ugly. It's diseased. It's dying. That person staring back at you, he needs something. He needs someone, and it isn't you. It isn't more of you. More of your works, more of your attempts at fulfilling the law. Look where that's gotten you so far. One foot in the grave, the other soon to follow. You're dying. You have a sin that kills and takes no prisoners. You need someone to take that away. You need a Savior." John, he doesn't point you to the law. Not anymore. He's done with that. The law has come to do what it does, to kill you. No, he doesn't heap the law upon you anymore. That wouldn't work. That's not going to save you. That would only kill you all the more. That would only drive you more and more into despair. The law isn't what you need right now. You're a sinner. You know that. You're dying. You know that. The law's good, but it does you no good right now. And so he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He points you to the gospel. Because that's what you need right now. He points you to a Savior. He points you to Jesus. And he calls this Savior the Lamb of God. It's not a term of endearment. It's not a literary device that makes us think of white fluffy wool and cute little animals. This is a word that speaks to sacrifice and blood and a violent death. This is a word that harkens us back to Moses, when Moses and the law weren't good enough to save God's people. It points you back to the Passover, the time in which the angel of death passes over the house of poor, sinful Israel. But it didn't pass over them because they were good. And it didn't pass over them because they were great at keeping the law. It didn't pass over them because they deserved it. It passed over them because of something completely outside of them. A lamb was sacrificed, slaughtered with a knife, blood pouring out and bleeding from its veins, pooling into a bowl, slathered on a hyssop branch, and then painted on a door. That's what the angel of death saw. Not the sinner inside that house, not the sinful flesh of men who deserve to die. Instead, it saw the innocent blood poured out to cover a multitude of sins that were hiding away, locked inside of that house. And the sinners were saved. By grace, they were saved through faith. John points us back to that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John doesn't point us back to a greater Moses. He points us back to a greater Lamb. For here is the Lamb of God walking in the flesh. The flesh of you and me, since the time he was conceived in the womb of Mary. Here is the one who will take upon himself, take into himself all of your sins. Here is the one who will take the law, all of the law, all of the law that was demanded of you, the law that you weren't good enough and perfect enough to fulfill, and he will fulfill it, every last dot and iota. Here is the one, the only one, that can do anything for you, poor, miserable sinner, who's been crushed by the law, who's dying in his trespasses. The Lamb of God is on his way to be sacrificed, not to have his blood smeared on the doorpost, but instead to have it painted in gore on a cross, dripping in death to the ground. That's what it means to be the Lamb of God. That's what it means to take away the sin of the world. And this time, the blood doesn't just cover, it washes clean. This time, a new lamb isn't sacrificed each and every single new Passover. But instead, this one lamb, this only lamb, this perfect lamb, this Lamb of God is sacrificed once and for all. Because that's all it takes. There's no need after him. The sacrifice is full and complete, and it washes away not just the sin of those huddled inside of a house, but the sin of the entire sin-infested world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this Lamb, this Jesus who was baptized by John, who had the Spirit of the Most High God descend upon him, baptizes you. And his baptism is different. It's not just water. It's water combined with God's word washing upon you the Holy Spirit. And in your baptism, you receive the very thing that he won on the cross for you, because you're baptized into him, into his death, into his resurrection, once and for all. That's all you need. You don't have to go back to the font, back to the Jordan, time and time again. His blood, spilt on the cross, runs from that tree directly into that font, into every font, into the font that you were baptized into. And that's where that water of death, that water of life, that water combined with the Word made flesh, the Word who is the Lamb of God, that's where he washes you clean from all of your sin and gives you life. John points you there. And John points you to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And today he's pointing you right here. Not back to some scene 2,000 years ago. He points you right here to this altar, right here to this communion rail, to this house full of huddled sinners, where the blood of the Paschal Lamb hides us away from the angel of death. John says to you, look, the Lamb of God is right here for you. The perfect Paschal Lamb hands out to you his perfect lamby flesh and places it into your mouth. And the perfect Paschal Lamb takes his perfect lamby blood and he pours it down your throat. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is right here for you today. And all of this is yours. The Word made flesh spoken into your ears. His baptism washed over your head. His Passover feast prepared for you. Because that is what you need. In your sin, you don't need more law that will heap upon you more sin. You need the gospel. You need forgiveness. You need the Lamb. You need Jesus. And he came. And he comes. And he comes to you. He is yours and you are his, sealed forever in this one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, made to be one with each other in this communion, this unity feast. Your sins are gone. Washed away forever. Taken into the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he's right there in your baptism. And he's right there in this spoken word. And he's right there in this supper. Forever making you clean and forgiving your sin. In the name of Jesus.